Today on Real Radio.
We are not going to walk up to the world and say, hey, this is the prophetic chart and I've got the archaeological evidence. You know, that may affect some people, but the greatest provocation to the heart of the believer to consider God is when Christians love each other.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. The so-called apostle of love, John himself, appeared to have, well, some unique and personal insight into the kind of love that comes from the Almighty God. After all, he was one of the closest disciples to the Messiah. Now, John's gospel, as well as these three New Testament letters he wrote, seem to reflect this divine love like no other writings ever. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now as he continues his look at this section of 1 John, chapter 4. It's a message called, What's Love Got to Do with It?
1 John 4, verses 12 to 21. There the scripture says, No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected or completed in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been perfected in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. In recapping last time together, we ran through some very key things, predominantly four points that we were going to be looking at. And then out of those four points, we were going to look at 10 characteristics of love, both in and out of the body of Christ. And verses 12 to 16, we talked about God's love, that it's an active love. And we hit on that last time. And verses 16 to 17, and we'll cover this evening, that God's love is a powerful love. It's not only active, it's powerful. But in verses 19 to 20, we see that God's love is a creative love. To me, this is amazing. God's love is a creative love. And then our fourth and final point tonight will be that God's love is a motivating love. A motivating love. That's going to be in verse 21. So recapping where we looked at last time, God's love is an active love. In verses 12 to 16, we see that God's love cannot sit still. It's got to do. It's got to act. And listen, it has to interact. God's love is a love that is not some pie in the sky kind of, well, maybe someday experience. No. God's love will and must do. The very word love in any vocabulary should be a verb, but it's never more true than with God. God's love is so, so active. We touched on under this heading, under this point, that God's love allows us to see his invisible nature. That God's invisible nature is seen when we love each other. You know, if the church is going to eat and devour one another with words and with looks and with scowls and scorn, then how dwells the love of God with us or in us? Well, quite frankly, it doesn't. But how does the existence of God to an unbelieving world be proven? We are not going to walk up to the world and say, hey, this is the prophetic chart and I've got the archaeological evidence. You know, that may affect some people, but the greatest provocation to the heart of the believer to consider God is when Christians love each other. And it's an effort. It's that act of love. But it reveals the invisible nature of God when we love publicly each other. It's great. In verse 13, we saw that this love of God that is active confirms to us that he lives in us. And we talked last time together how, quite frankly, before we were Christians, we really didn't love anybody else except what they could give us. Remember, it was a selfish love? It was an eros love, where we get the word erotic love. What can you give me? I'll love you as long as you're giving to me. And when you're not giving to me anymore, well, I'm out of here. That's the love of the world. Well, God's love is not like that. Neither is our love for one another any more like that. And we touched on just a little bit how when a person accepts Jesus Christ, God infuses. We saw last time that the word is spread abroad in our heart. He deposits his love in our hearts. And we begin to love on other people. And sometimes it kind of scares us. Because we'll see people that once drove us crazy. Now we're having feelings and emotions and actions of benevolence toward them. We think they're lovable now. You say, what is happening to me? Am I turning goofy? It's God working in our hearts. He lives within us. We saw in verse 14 that God's love convinces us that Jesus is our Savior. That if any man has Jesus, has the Spirit, has God in his life, that truth that he is our Savior, that he has redeemed us, we can't sit silent. We can't sit idle. We've got to tell the world. And so many of you get up and you go. You go not only down the street on Thursday night and witness to people about the love of God, but you'll get in airplanes and cars. You'll go to Mexico and you'll go to who knows where. You'll be found next, you know. You crazy, wild people, you. It's amazing. It's all because Jesus is Savior. He loves us. We love him. And we want to tell the world because he loves the world. Remember we mentioned that? And we love the world, not the things of the world. We love the lost of the world. I had a wonderful opportunity this morning in leaving the coast and getting to the airport. I met and only God can do this. I didn't know who the guy was, but he is some hot dog, renowned guitarist. And I didn't know who the guy was, but he was playing at the camp. They brought him in from Portland, and he knew somebody there. And yeah, that's great. So anyway, he says, well, I'm going by the airport. I'll drive you by. I didn't know it was a 3-hour drive. But I tell you, I was so blessed. This guy with such an eccentric type and an incredible gifted musician, he starts going off on this childlike faith that he has with God. And that drive honestly seemed like about 30 minutes. I was hearing nuggets falling out of this guy's mouth and heart. How Jesus has made such an incredible difference in his life. And he says, I've done CDs and albums and stuff, and I've played with these guys and this band and that rocker and this thing and all. And he goes, my Christianity is wreaking havoc with my secular career. And I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And he goes, no. He goes, don't get me wrong. He goes, I have jobs. I have business. I play, studio stuff and back up this and concert that. He said, that's not the point. He said, but I can't enjoy myself anymore. He said, man, I used to get there and just do the wow, and all the stuff that he does. And he says, I look out there after putting such effort into it, and he goes, the people are sitting there, and he goes, they're dead. They're dead. He goes, but man, I come down here to go to this camp of a bunch of teenagers, and I just stand up there and go, meep. And the kids are going, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And they're like loving on Jesus. He says, I got more out of doing this stuff for the kids than I do in some big honking rock concert. He says, one is life and one is death. He said, one's darkness, one's light. He goes, it's ruining my career. I don't want to do any more secular gigs. Even though he'd be a Christian. I think it's awesome. It's great. And it's all because he knows Jesus is his Savior. And then finally, last time, we saw that the love of God unites us together. And there's no greater unity than the Trinity of God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. These are bound in love. God is love. And it's the love of God that brings us together. And so tonight we continue where we left off last time. Our fifth characteristic of the love that God has in the life of the believer. What's love got to do with it? It's got everything to do with it. Verse 16, love comforts us to know that we are His. The love of God comforts us to know that we're His. Verse 16, and we have known, gnosko. We've experienced by relating with God and God relating to us and believed. This is not just a casual belief. It is a belief that takes us to a strong, undivided faith. The love that God has for us, he says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Doesn't that sound like a little homogeneous mixture or something that is homogeneous? Take some ingredients, you put them together, and you blend them to a point where they're inseparable. This is awesome. When the love of God is in our hearts, it indicates that Christ dwells within us. Don't tell me, and by the way, don't ever let me tell you that I have any or that you have any particular gift of God that matters at all if we're not loving one another. We say, well, I've got the gift of discernment. I've got the gift of healing. I've got the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I don't really care. If you're some kind of a snub-nosed nincompoop and you boast in these gifts, you know what? Why don't you just get up here and start banging cymbals? Because that's all you're doing. But if you have these gifts and the love of God abides in you first, you know what? How sweet can that be? How good can that be? It's awesome. What good is it if somebody preaches an incredible message but can't love the body that God has put them over? Or what good is it if we come into an assembly and we sit there with our Bible open, assuming that we're going to leave the service with something added to our spiritual walk, when we're in our mind, in our heart, nitpicking on people? Well, her hair is too long. Her hair is too short. Her dress is too long. Her dress is too short. Or he smells. Or he smells good. I mean, come on, what is that? You've come, we come together to worship God. He's the focus. He's the one. It's the only way to live. You start looking at those other things, man, you're going to be so derailed. And then you're going to have a sign out front. Only good smelling people in this church only. I remember in Calvary Chapel with all the hippies. Remember, I mean, it was world famous. Remember that? All the hippies were going to Calvary Chapel? Well, as the church began to acquire some money, they built a new sanctuary and they put carpet in. As soon as they put the carpet in, some guy, I happen to know who that guy is, by the way, built a sign and put a sign out in the foyer that says, no bare feet. Wow. Chuck Smith walked into the building to do the teaching, and he saw the sign. Took the sign, quietly threw it in the dumpster, and then after his teaching, made it a personal crusade to find out who put that sign up there. Because if you guys really want to have the sign up there, then pull all the carpet out of the building. Don't you love it? Get the carpet out of the building. If people can't come in with bare feet, take the carpet out of the building. If people can't come in here with dirty clothes, then let's put benches on here. Let's remove the nice, comfortable lumbar support 4.5-inch foam seating you have. Scotch guarded to the hilt. Let's get it out of here. If the world can't come by and say, man, you know what? I've had a rough day. And instead of going to the bar, they ought to be able to pull into Calvary Chapel. They ought to be able to pull in and say, you know what? God, give me a fix. And that's fine with us. Come on in, world. If this church, if we somehow communicate to them that they're not welcome, how dwells the love of God in us? It doesn't. We've just become religious people. And it's wrong. But you see, if we know this about God, that he loves us and that his love abides in us, and we believe this, that he loves us and that his love abides in us, then we've got to love others. John 15:9 says, as the Father loved me, Jesus says, I also love you. Abide in my love. all mixed together. You hear that? And what a statement. John 15, 9. Jesus says, as the Father loves me, I love you. Man, this may be a part three message after this verse. Think about it. As the Father loves the Son, Jesus, who cannot lie, says he loves us with that same kind of love. How loved are you?
I'm not very loved.
Are you kidding? God drools over you.
All right, amen.
He loves you. It's incredible to think. I had some kid last night, Robert. Cutest little guy. He was a little guy. He said, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. So we walked out in this freezing cold Oregon air. And he says, I've been going to church for 4 years. And I have a problem. And I said, what's your problem? And he goes, I don't know if God loves me. I said, are you serious? And he kind of stepped back like I was going to slap him or something. You know? I said, are you serious? And he goes, yeah. And I said, man, get your Bible out. Let's go. And we started going through stuff. And his smile, his head's hanging down, his smile began to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And get a load of this. And bigger. And then he says, you know what? I want to accept Jesus Christ now as my Lord and Savior. I said, are you kidding me? You've been going to church, and I know the church you go to. It's a great church. You never gave your heart to Christ? No. I go, what's the deal? He goes, well, I mean, now I see that I'm loved. I understand that part now. Well, he accepted the Lord. He goes skipping off to the fire ring, and the worship's going on. They did it till 1 o'clock this morning, the terrible kids kept me up. And this was so cool because as he went back, the youth pastor of that group said, hey, what was with Robert? What was going on? And I told him what happened. And he goes, man, he goes, that's a miracle, because he said, you should see the home he comes from. He said, it's no wonder that he didn't understand that God, or his, he didn't understand God's love for him. The kid's never known love. It's like, wow. Hey, what about you? What about me? Have we taken our earthly relationship with love or our definition of it, be it with a mother or a father or a husband or a wife, and translated that on God? That God is a sometime lover? That God is sometime faithful? That God is sometime? No, all the time. Unlike we, us humans. It's awesome to think. As we continue on, what's love got to do with it? Point number 2, verses 17 to 18, God's love is a powerful love. His love is a powerful love. 17 to 18, love has been perfected or made complete among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. First thing we see right here, number 6 in our study. Love makes us bold and daring in this world. I love it. Man, when you're secure in Christ, look out. When you know God loves you, there's nobody that can stop you. It'll make you bold and daring when you know that God loves you. It's a powerful love. When the love of God is on you, you can't be stopped. There's not a demon. There's not a devil. There's no one that can stand against a heart much like Stephen had, yielded to God, confident in God, just like a little child. The little child is so confident. That little child weighs 20 pounds. But man, when he's standing near, hugging on the leg of his father, that kid will say or do anything. Why? Because he's hugging on the leg of his father. Got him right around the kneecap. We need to be like that. My Father loves me. So I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world dictates. Have you tried to listen to the world at all? If you're trying to, give it up. Because, you know, your head will be spinning. If you're listening to two people talk to you, you're going to have three opinions. Give it up. Follow God. Well, I think you should go to church on this day. Or, you know, you went on Wednesday. You shouldn't go on Sunday. You start listening to that, you're going to go crazy. Follow God. You'll be secure in Christ when you know that he loves you and you enjoy that. You know what? It won't matter. You'll be invincible in the things of the Spirit. A bold, daring faith, love in this world. He says, verse 17, love has been perfected or made complete among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You're not afraid to A, die, B, get raptured. It doesn't matter how we get there to the believer. Well, you know, if the Lord comes, praise the Lord. I'll get raptured. Hallelujah. Can you say that tonight? Or if you die tonight? Yeah, you know, praise the Lord, I'm ready. And you, do you have that confidence? So, I don't know. I didn't live a very good day today. You're missing it, friend. It doesn't matter. Are you listening? It doesn't matter what kind of day you had. God's not the boss in the front corner office on a Monday morning. He's not grieved with you Thursday at 2 o'clock. Do you understand you're his child? Do children act up and make mistakes and sin? Of course they do. But do you ever get aborted from the family because you sin and goof up? I mean, I'm a parent. Sometimes I wish you could do that, but you can't do that. That child's your child. Would God be any less? What if, have you been wayward from God? Have you not been walking with God? Have you been reading your Bible? Maybe you haven't. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe it's been a long time since you prayed. So what do you do about it? Continue to kick yourself? Get out the chain, you know, and whip yourself all the way to Mecca like a good Muslim, paying for your own sins. Here I go. I'm coming back to God. I think a lot of Christians would make great Muslims. It's hilarious. Do you understand that if you confess your sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness? The heart that you have, can I come back to God? Do you realize that you can't even think that thought without God bringing you back home? If you're sitting here tonight going, I wish he'd shut up because I don't really care about what he's talking about, then you know what? You're probably in deep trouble. Because you're not listening. You're not hearing from God. It's not me. You don't listen to me. It's God. But if you're sitting here tonight saying, man, you know what? I need to come back into the fold. I need to walk in the Word. I need to know the Lord. You can't think that thought without his love at work pulling you in. And once he's pulled you in, judgment, Jesus says, we've passed from that into life. You are not going to be judged for your sins when you die. If you're born again. Or you're born again. If you're born again, man, the only thing we're going to be judged on is our motives for what we did for the Lord. Our motives. So what's your motive?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from a section of 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John writes about divine love, or as he sometimes puts it, perfect love. The title of this presentation, What's Love Got to Do With It? What's Love Got to Do With It? A mini-series that's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it's Monday, and that means that tonight you can catch our television program. We hope you will. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. Now, on Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Pastor Jack has sat down with some really fascinating guests to talk about some of the hard-hitting issues of our day. Guests like Kurt Bruner, Jacob Prash, David Hawking, Tony Perkins. And of course, tonight we've got another great show for you, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Monday nights, 7 o'clock, West Coast time. That's hischannel.com. Also, a quick reminder that you can sign up for Pastor Jack's devotional. You're going to like it. It's called Words to the Wise. I personally get Words to the Wise devotionals, and I love them. So sign up for them for free. They show up in your email box, nothing to it. Just visit realradioactive.org and learn more. Our telephone number, by the way, here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.